Grace and peace are yours in the name of God, who is mystery, who is incarnation, who is spirit. Today we read the story of the Ascension. It is one of the lesser festivals in the church and one that I think we sometimes don't know what to do with. The birth of Jesus and the incarnation, the death and resurrection are central to our faith. They are the pivot on which the whole story rests. But then there's this odd bit. Jesus goes up to heaven, lifted up by clouds. What does that even look like? For our 21st century minds, we know that there is no place to go up there, unless you go a very long way away. It's almost a comic image, Jesus' feet rising into the air while the disciples stand gawking. I love looking at art of the Ascension because there's all these pictures of the feet of Jesus from the clouds. But Luke thought that this story was important enough to tell it twice. Luke ends his gospel story with the Ascension, and then when he starts writing the book of Acts, he starts with the same story. This is the event that ties those two books together. And this is an event which centers on the disciples looking up to Jesus. In Luke's gospel, the Ascension acts as the culmination of the story of Jesus. And it brings together the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection with the larger story of God's constant and unfailing love for God's creation. If you were here a few weeks ago, or perhaps you remember the story of the road to Emmaus, when Jesus walks with Cleopas and his companion and opens the scripture to them, Jesus talks to them about all the things concerning Jesus in the Hebrew scripture. And they remember their hearts burning within them. A similar thing happens in Luke's gospel version of the Ascension. Jesus said to his followers, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. This Ascension story emphasizes the continuity of the story of Jesus with the story of God in the Hebrew scripture. Jesus does for all of his followers what he did for Cleopas and his companion on the road, opening the scripture to them. Jesus has incarnated the love and vision of God as given in the law and the prophets and even the Psalms. Jesus has embodied God's deepest longing for us and all creation, that all may live in peace and justice in the world God has created. In his life, Jesus showed us what it means to be God's people, the people of the covenant. And in his death and resurrection, he has redeemed us. Now he ascends to heaven, leaving his disciples with the promise of the power to become his witnesses, to tell his story to all nations. The book of Acts tells the same story, but it tells it differently. This time, Luke is looking forward as he begins the great story of mission and witness throughout the known world. This time, Jesus is a little more specific. He tells his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." He gives the disciples a new purpose, a mission to guide them into the future, and the promise of support and help for that mission. And then again, Jesus is raised up into heaven. Sometime later, angels find the disciples still standing there, bemused. "Why do you stand here looking up?" they ask. This is one of my favorite moments in scripture. The disciples are all kind of, "What?" And the angels say, "Why are you standing here looking around? You have work to do. Go and do what Jesus told you to do." The disciples do go, but in a way they continue looking up. Their gaze remains steadfastly on Jesus. They have received Jesus' blessing and they are filled with joy. They go back to that upper room where they have been through so much together, the Last Supper, but then the appearance of the risen Christ, right? And they stay there and they wait as Jesus told them to do. And as they wait, they pray and bless God. They wait not in anxiety and fear, but in joyful expectation that what Jesus promised them will happen. Pastor Rick Mixon wrote about this story. "The good news for those left standing on that Judean hillside is that Jesus not only comes from God, he returns to God. This is the true scope of movement for followers of the way. We come from God, we return to God. The challenge in the meantime is to keep our lives centered on God, rooted and grounded in God, allowing God to be the one in whom we live and move and have our being here and now on this earth. The challenge is to keep looking up to Jesus and at the same time to go about doing the work that he sends us to do." Looking back, looking forward, looking up to Jesus, and looking out at the world God loves. The story of the ascension, as Luke tells and retells it, invites us into all these movements. We look back to how God has called and blessed God's people and how God has been with us in our own lives. We look forward to a new life and blessing in our journey of faith as we take part in that work of telling and retelling the stories of God and God's people. And most of all, we keep our gaze focused on Jesus, looking always up to the one who is our light and our hope, our Savior and our friend. May we always be caught looking up to Jesus. Amen.